I had to think of all the reasons we could be coming together. Sometimes we are brought together by divine appointment. Sometimes there's a death. Sometimes there's something that happens that's an emergency that we weren't planning on, and it brings people together. And then there are also times of when there's teaching, there's scriptures read, and that brings people together. And I thought about how that happened in Jesus' time when in Matthew chapter 5, it says, in seeing the multitudes, he started teaching. And I'm still amazed sometimes. I read through the Gospels. Recently, I was impressed about the fact that that they sat with Jesus. They were there 3 days, and they didn't have anything to eat. That was how much people were thirsting and desiring the Word of God, that they would stay 3 days and not eat. And I have trouble fathoming that in my own life, that I would actually stay. My hunger for the Word of God and for teaching would be so strong that I would stay in one place 3 days without eating. That's just a challenge to me in my life. But I'm just thinking about how Jesus, everywhere he went, it seems like he brought a crowd together. And they came because they wanted to hear teaching. They wanted to hear food for thought. And so it is a blessing to see you all here, because if you're here today, you're probably here because you want to hear teaching. You want to grow. You want to have life fed into you. Well, turn with me for a few devotional thoughts to Luke chapter 19. It is a very familiar story with a number of things that are different from normal life, at least where I come from in Chambersburg. These things don't necessarily happen around there, but yet they do. Luke chapter 19, let's start reading in verse 29. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never a man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found, as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. And they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that he had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Stop reading there. There's probably several things that I could enjoy focusing on, and we will focus on a few. We could focus on the colt, the fact that the colt had never been ridden. There was no one ever sat on this colt and actually took him down the streets. And Jesus said, I want you to go get him. And that in itself is a miracle. And we could think about and take that into how Jesus could do that to us. And we will look at that one actually a little bit. We could look at the fact that Jesus knew where the colt was. Jesus, because of who he was, he said, I want you to go into this village, and when you come to a certain place, you're going to find a colt there basically just waiting for you. And we can think about that and how Jesus knows the future of our lives. And he sees the things coming ahead, and he knows what to expect. And we can look at that. We could also look at the fulfillment of prophecy. Because Zechariah 9, verse 9 says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt the foal of an ass. We could look at how it is such a blessing to have the word of God that was prophesied, and we could look at how it fulfilled, and we could say, you know what, that whole thing gives us hope for today. And it does. We could possibly look at how him coming into Jerusalem and riding upon a donkey, the way I understand this was, in essence, saying he's coming in peace if back in that time, where we could look at the second coming and how it will be like that, and yet Jesus will not be like he was here. He will come as one who is with power and great glory, the scriptures say. How it will be different than how he came in here. But I would like to look at maybe some people we don't know their names to, but yet they had a profound influence and effect in this story. It says, Jesus said, when you go here and you find this colt, if they ask you, what are you doing? You just say, the Lord hath need of him, and they will let him go. As I read that a couple months ago, that hit me in a way that it never did before. The Lord hath need of him, and that was all they needed to hear. The donkey left. If you go back to the story in Matthew chapter 21, this story is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But in Matthew 21, verses 1 through 3, we have this story. In verse 3, it's Jesus told them this before they went. He said, if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway, which means immediately, at once, he will send them. And that was such a challenge to me, because if I put this into, I tried to find out, is this something that was a rental place you could go to and always get horses? I could not actually find that that's the way it was. So it seemed like it was like showing up at the shop Monday morning. Someone walks in and says, the Lord hath need of a small building over here. Oh, I mean, right away, we would start asking questions. We would start wanting to know what it was for, what it would be used for. But Jesus simply said, the Lord hath need of him. Is that enough reason for us? Or do we need more than that? That is the thought that really stood out to me in this chapter. That Jesus could send two disciples, and they could come up to a man and say, the Lord hath need of a donkey, and right away he would let him go. In my own life, I think about that, and I think about how the call of God comes numerous times to serve or to whatever it may be. The Lord hath need of a person. The Lord hath need of funds or whatever it is. Is that enough for you? Is that enough of a reason? Well, I'd like to draw 4 points from this little chapter here. Number one is the call of God comes without warning. We do not read here that the owners of this scripture right here, we do not know that they had a warning. We don't know that Jesus sent a letter in the mail saying, on such and such a day, have a horse, have a colt ready, because I'm going to send two people to come get it. We don't know that there was any warning at all. And you know, that's how the call of God comes many times. We think about Jonah. He came, the call of God came, go to Nineveh and go preach. And we know what he did. He did the opposite of what these owners did. He took off. We think of Gideon there, threshing wheat. And the call of God came without warning. Gideon, I have a work for you to do. I can think of Elisha. He was there plowing. Elijah came out there past him, and what did he do? He threw his mantle on him, and the call was there without warning. He was plowing. Moses was out keeping sheep. Without warning, there was a burning bush, and all of a sudden, a call to go bring the Israelites back. Paul was on the way to Damascus. All of a sudden, without warning, he was stopped. And I think of how this contrasts, that's how God works. And it contrasts so much to what you and I are used to. We have scheduled, we have on our phones, or maybe you still do it on paper, you have your day scheduled next week. You have things that you have planned to happen. And many times in the scheduled environment we find ourselves in, and we are also in a time where it is if you're a poor planner, somehow it's you're not a real good person, okay? So we live in a time where scheduled things are very important to us. And it is good management to have a good schedule. But may I say that the call of God throws that whole thing apart. Because the call of God does not come when I'm wanting it, mostly. It comes at a time when I'd rather actually be doing something else. There's something else in the date book. There's something else that I would rather do. The call of God comes without warning. Number two, the call rarely includes all the, what we call it, the logistical details that men would like to know. As I read this, I don't read that the owners ask any questions. I mean, okay, there's things we don't know. The Bible only tells a certain amount. But, you know, it is possible this was a show colt. It was possible that this colt was scheduled to be sold at a certain date. And I just say that because God really rarely comes and asks for the things that the colt that was just getting ready to be called because it was no good. It's generally not how God works. You see, we don't know the test that the owners went through. But you see, I can think of a lot of questions. Okay, you're taking the colt. Now, okay, how long are you going to have it? And where are you taking it to? And how am I going to get it back? Are you bringing it or am I going to have to come get it? You see, those details weren't there. Just the phrase, "the Lord hath need of him," was enough for that man to say, "the colt can go." I don't know how you find it, but sometimes when a call comes to serve, to give of yourself, to maybe even sometimes for funds, you don't know how you're going to give. You don't understand maybe how the bill is going to get paid if you give a certain amount. Or maybe it's a call for you to go serve, and you look at everything and you say, "I don't know how it's going to work." The call of God never works that way. That we have everything, we can look ahead. We can say, here's how this is going to work. It's going to work this way, and that way. It's okay, it'll work out. It's not how it works. Mostly the call of God for you to serve, give of yourself, or give whatever it is, comes in a way that we can't actually figure out the big picture before we say, "Yes, Lord, I'll go serve." And I believe it is that way because of the life of faith that God is asking us to walk. I think of Abraham and how he had to leave, not knowing whither he went. All the details that I would like to have in place could not have been in place for Abraham. He just had to go. God worked out the details. And it's the way it is with the call to serve or to do something. Is we can never know the details of how it's all going to work out. God wants us to walk by faith, and that is a challenge. Number three, God is able to take the inexperienced and the unskilled and do something with them if they are willing. I just see that as a blessing, that God could take a colt that has never been ridden upon. And I give that as a challenge and an encouragement for you as youth, as you sit here and you know that you don't have a lot of experience. But I want to tell you that God can do a lot more with a person who is willing to just say, "I'll be used, however you want me to be used." God can do so much more with a person like that than he can with maybe someone who does have experience but yet can't. What's the proverb say? An old king who can't be taught or something like that. And I don't say that to put older people down because we need older people. We need their experience. But I'm just saying, as youth, I want you to take this encouragement. God can take someone who's unskilled and inexperienced, if you are filled with the Spirit of God, God can take that and he can make you useful in some way. And I just want you to think about that, because if God could take the colt and do something with that, he can use you. And I remember that point because I don't know how many years ago it's been, but I was at Bible school. And the first time I had revivals, I don't know if Brother Dwayne remembers this, but he shared this passage, and that was, I don't remember what he shared, but I do remember that point, that there I was the first time and shaking in my boots, and he read this the first night. And that has always stuck with me because that's where I was. And certainly, God can take the inexperience of man, the things they don't know, and God can take it and use it. It's just only if we're willing. If I think of the verse in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12, and maybe it's slightly out of context, but it does fit. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12 says, "For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to the man to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." And that's the way it is. You know, the very thing, sometimes we don't want to say yes to something because I don't have experience. I don't have the talent. I don't have it. But that, you see, if it first be a willing mind, God's able to take what you do have and take that and glorify it. And sometimes, you know, our inner experience, sometimes that is a devil's tool of taking us away from where he really wants us. Instead of allowing God to move ahead in faith and allow God to work. Number four, responding to God's call to give or serve becomes a way of life. Somehow I don't think that this was the man's first time, the owner's first time that he was asked to give of himself or his possessions. I know I'm surmising, but a person just don't say yes that quickly. The only explanation he had is the Lord hath need of him. That was the only explanation the owner got. And you don't actually get to that point without first being broken yourself, okay? That first needs to happen so that the owner had learned that in some way before this question came to him. And I don't know how you find it, but either my desire to serve people who serve is a way of life to them, or else the life of selfishness is the way of life. It's just how it works. And so I look at this owner and I say, look at that, and his immediate response, and say that this was a way of life for this man. He was used to saying yes. The Lord hath need of him. That's all the answer. That's all the explanation he needed. The challenge is for me in my life is, am I allowing God? Am I moving forward in faith? And can this be, is this a way of life for me? Or is my life a way of selfishness? You know, the Lord is going to have need of, or someday, you're going to be the owner or you're going to be the colt, one or the other. It may happen today yet. It may be happening right now in your life. I don't know. But someday, the Lord is going to have need for you to be an owner or a colt. And the important question is am I pliable enough? Am I allowing God to shape my life that I can say yes, as the owners did? That I can be like the colt and say, sure, Lord, I have no experience, but I will do my best with your help. With these thoughts in mind, let us kneel for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. We thank you so much for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the blood of Christ that was shed for us. We thank you that we can be forgiven of our sins. We thank you that we can look forward to eternity with you. We thank you most of all for what you've given us here in this life. We thank you for the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that leads and guides us and shows us the way. We thank you that for the inspiration we can get from your Word. I pray, Lord, that we would read your Word daily and apply what we have learned to our lives. Now just think of this little story you've given to us about the colt and about the owners and about you riding on the colt. And there are so many lessons we could pull from this. But if we look at the owners of that colt and how that was all the explanation they needed, is that the Lord hath need of him. Father, I pray that could challenge our lives. In this day and age where we like to be very scheduled and have things thought out very well, how they're going to end, pray there could be a lesson for us to think about of how God wants us to be flexible, pliable. And Father, I pray that we could live by faith in our lives, in these areas of life. Help us, Lord, when a call of God comes to serve, give of ourselves, to know truly if we are saying yes or no for selfish reasons, or if it's really we really should give ourselves to the work of God in any way that we can. Father, give us wisdom, for there's times we need to make those decisions. I pray, Lord, that you would be with Brother Steve as he shares the message here this morning. I pray that you give him grace and strength. I pray, Lord, that the word of God could speak to us this morning. I pray that if there's areas in our life that are need to be weeded out, need to be challenged, need to be pruned in some way, I pray that you could do that to us this morning. Thank you for each one gathered here. And I pray, Lord, that times like this we can be tireder because things were different, the bed wasn't the same. But I pray, Lord, that we could be awake, alert, and listen for what the Lord has for us this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.